Hey everybody, this is B on Dot Paul Podcast, Stuff About Stuff. So I wanted to talk about VR, virtual reality, and AR, augmented reality. So VR is virtual reality, as I just said. And that's a technology that creates a simulated, interactive, immersive environment within a computer-generated simulation of real-world settings. Yeah. Or you could just go outside. The goal of VR is to provide users with a sense of presence and the feeling of being physically present in an environment that is entirely generated or manipulated digitally. So I guess you could be in prehistoric times, you could be on the moon, you could be flying an airplane in World War II, you could be a gladiator in Roman times. So, you know, it's typically specialized hardware and software that creates the immersive experience. Usually you wear a VR headset. It's head mounted, of course, and the display covers your eyes and often includes headphones or audio output for sound immersion. A VR headset tracks the user's head motions and adjusts the virtual environment accordingly, creating a sense of looking around, interacting with the simulated world. In addition to visual and auditory components, VR can also incorporate other sensory inputs like touch and even smell. I haven't done the smell thing, but the touch thing, with the right equipment doesn't feel real, but it's close. Various industries, you know, like gaming, education, healthcare, architecture, entertainment have embraced VR technology for potential to create realistic and engaging experiences. You know, overall, VR aims to transport users to an entirely different world and worlds of different scenarios, so you can explore those worlds and interact with those worlds. So just to be quote-unquote transparent, I have an Oculus device I bought a couple of years ago because I was suspicious. I wanted to know more about VR, and so I bought the most user dumbed down version of the Oculus, whatever that thing is called, and I used it for a while. It is fascinating because you can be sitting on your couch, let's say, put this thing on, and one of the experiences it had was a Jurassic Park experience. And so you're walking along in, you know, the Jurassic World, park world, and there's a mountain in front of you. You know, you walk by some dinosaur eggs. You all know the movie and probably get an idea of what it's like. And I was like, oh, yeah, cool. I'm just looking around. Now, just look over to my left. And if you know the movies with Blue, the Velociraptor, Blue, she's just standing there staring at me. I will tell you, the first time this happened, I wasn't afraid, but I did get some chills because I was like, hey, and then I just looked back straight and I just kept walking because I wasn't going to make eye contact with Blue, and then Blue is trotting next to me. And so I'm like, oh, man, that's not going to end well. And then I come out into this clearing, and a Brontosaurus is lumbering by, and Blue takes off And then three other raptors come out of nowhere. I didn't know that they were even around me. And they attack the brontosaurus, and mayhem happens. And then so I go down here. There's a Jeep that's burning. It's got a radio on it. And you're supposed to type in a code. And then, you know, the engine, I think that was the name of the company, is supposed to come and rescue me. But, hey, there's a volcano now. All of this was, it wasn't real because my brain knew it wasn't real, but it was not bad. So I just wanted to say I've done this as a user. I haven't written any code for it. I did upgrade my Xcode, and I did load the Vision module in there from Apple, and I'm going to be taking a look at that and see if I can get something wacky to happen. I just put that on a simulator because I don't have $3,000 to drop on a Vision, you know, like version 1.0. No matter what Mac Rumor says about it, you know, or Cult of the Mac or Mac World or whoever, you know, people fawning over themselves about this. Of course, they're Mac fanboys, so why wouldn't they? I don't have $3,000 to drop on it. What's AR? You know, that's augmented reality. And, you know, that overlays digital information, images, videos, text, and 3D models onto the real world environment in real time. So unlike VR, which creates entirely simulated environments, augmented reality enhances a user's perception of the real world by adding computer-generated elements to it. So back to my story of my Oculus, there were some AR, and one of them was a cooking AR, and I'm not a chef. I don't cook that much, but my little kitchen at the time, I loaded this thing up to make a salad. And so you're wearing this headset, and you see all your stuff, and the headset sees the lettuce. When it sees the lettuce, it identifies the lettuce and tells you how to slice it. All that's all in a heads-up display. So I guess you're not looking at a recipe, if you need a recipe to make a salad, and chop up the carrots and whatever you're going to put in there. And, you know, if it's, you know, a Cobb salad, you're going to have the boiled eggs sliced in there. So that was the really only AR that I did. A lot of these AR things are, they're like smartphones or tablets, but, you know, through smart glasses. Several years back now, when I was working over somewhere else, there was a colleague that had those AR glasses that Google had out for a while. And he would come in, and he'd be wearing those. The only thing I didn't like about him, and I just had to tell him, turn the video feed out. I don't want to be recorded. I don't want anybody, you know, listening in on our conversations, because I was on the security team. And we were talking about things, you know, so just make sure that's off. Because he was using the AR of the glasses, because we had a whiteboard on our it wasn't Teams. It was, what's that one that Cisco has? WebEx, yeah. And then he was looking at that, and then the AR would make suggestions what it read, and then he would write on the whiteboard. So, like, okay, take those glasses off, and we'll see how smart you are. That's really the only time I've seen that done in the real world. You know, had cameras on it, had sensors on it. I put it on for like 5 minutes, and it instantly gave me a headache. I did not appreciate what it was. He wore them a lot. Whenever I saw him, I just would walk the other way. I don't want to be recorded. I don't need that in my life. And not that anybody was after me or anybody looking for me or the government is surveilling us. You know, but I just don't like that. And there's no red light like a camera that's on. It's just on. And he can turn that off. And so I assume that he did that, and I hope that management talked to him about it. So AR, you know, content is displayed in real time, like we said, responding to changes in the user's environment interactions. I could see if you were a mechanic and you were working on a foreign car for the first time, and you could stare down at it and go, hey, that needs a 14 millimeter wrench or a 20 millimeter screwdriver, where that would come in handy. Little notes about this Mercedes is known for having problems with this head gasket. You should try that first. You know, some troubleshooting steps. I could see that. Applications in various fields, you know, gaming, of course, gaming, education, navigation, retail, healthcare, design, and more. You know, AR can be used to create interactive, you know, educational experiences. Haven't seen any of those, but I'm pretty sure they're out there. You know, maker-based and makerless-based AR, you know, maker-based AR relies on specific visual markers or patterns to trigger an overlay of digital content, like I guess like a car engine or aircraft engine. Makerless AR uses sensors and computers' vision to detect and track objects in the real world without the need for makers. I think that's many years away. AR technology that is probably here now, but it's probably not very good. That's my opinion. AR continues to evolve, of course, and potential impact on daily life, work, and entertainment is substantial. It provides new ways to interact with the physical world and digital information simultaneously, opening it up numerous creative possibilities. So, yeah, getting back to my Oculus stories, you know, that the gaming in that was, some of them were good, some of them were not good. So there was one where you flew along in a World War II bomber, and it flew a mission, and you didn't interact with it, but you were in the plane. And you were really weren't asked to do anything. You were kind of sitting there. There's a pilot, the co-pilot, the engineer, the bombardier. There was like four or five people in this plane, and then you. And you could walk around the plane. You could look around the plane, look out the windows, and drop the bombs. That was fascinating. Watch the Norton bomb site being sighted. You could look through it. Engineer the gauges, and just follow along with what they were doing. It was about a 15-minute thing, tops. And then there were other games, obviously, where you're like, pew, 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 pew. There's a Star Wars where you get to... Okay, that's all right. Let's see, what else? It had this... So you had your setup. You had like a modern living room. You had like a chalet. You had a skyscraper. You could, that's like five or six different environments you could sit in. So I'm in one. It's like a log cabin or a cabin out in the woods, and it's snowing outside. Very nice. And then you could play Netflix on the big TV in the room. And I did that a couple of times. It was good for about 30 minutes, 40 minutes top, but those headsets are heavy. I think Apple may be onto something by taking the battery and all the heavy components out of it, and that's kind of in a little pack that comes off one side with a cable. Either you put it in your pocket or put it on the table next to you. It's not part of the headset experience. But yeah, the Oculus is, I thought it was kind of heavy. When you first put it on, the first 5 minutes, it's kind of claustrophobic, if you will. There's also some diagnostics it has to do. It has to track your eyes and yada, yada, all of that. And you have to do audio tests. Once all that's done and you're at the main menu, you can go through the main menu. And it comes with a little hand controller thing. Just you holding your hand, obviously. And it's kind of like an Xbox on the type, but it's not that big. The buttons on the type, there's north, south, east, and west, and then a commit button on the top, and then another pew, pew, pew button on the trigger, if you will. And you can go through things, pick menus. You can take screenshots in this thing, which I have. I took screenshots of what I was doing. And also there were some modes, relaxation mode. One was the beach, one was the mountains, one was the night sky. So you could just, if you wanted just to peace out. So sometimes, and this is probably 6 years ago, in my little world at the time, I would just sit on the beach and just wish for a better day. It was nice. And I'm getting a little emotional about it because those were bad times for me. But, peace out, VR. I appreciate it. Those are kind of my personal experiences. So augmented reality in a lot of different industries. So let's talk about them. Gaming. It's popular in a gaming industry, like Pokemon Go. Y'all remember that from a couple years ago? Players use their smartphones to catch virtual creatures overlaid onto the real world. And people went crazy for this. I used to sit at the brew pub and out on the patio, and people would come up. There was this fountain next to the brew pub and be sitting there, and people would come, oh, there's the whatever it's called. They would grab it and then you would move on. And there were several in this area. Some people would just walk by the fountain. Either they didn't see it or it wasn't being displayed for that user, because that user could have gotten the thing earlier in the day at another location. Excuse me, I need water. Talking about Pokemon Go makes me thirsty. Thank you. That's something I think everybody can relate to. Either you played it or you knew somebody who played it. I'm a grown person, so I didn't play Pokemon Go. And then in retail and e-commerce, AR is used to allow customers virtually try on clothing, accessories, and even, furniture before making a purchase. I tried this on a couple of websites with the Oculus. I didn't like it. Okay, so I have this jacket on, but I can't tell what it's made out of. I can't tell the cut of the jacket because, you can see your size. So you see your size in the store. It's a classic story. You see your size in the store. You go to the dressing room, fitting room, and you try them on, and they don't fit because they're cut differently. This is the difference between Wranglers and Levi's. So if you ride a motorcycle, you probably wear Wranglers because of the way, if you're a man, the way the crotch is cut. Because if you wear Levi's on a motorcycle, it's tough. It's just tough, bro. Just saying. So that's why Wranglers is a favorite of mine. So I never could get that feeling. And then furniture, you've seen that where you're like, oh, yeah, see this furniture, in your house. And, okay, there's the table in my house. But you kind of can look at it 3D, but not really. I guess I'm quote unquote old school. I like going and seeing things and putting my hands on them and then buying them. I'm just that way. And I don't buy, the only thing I buy online are t-shirts and hats. It's hard to screw up a t-shirt. I get a t-shirt and it's the wrong size. I can send it back and get the right size. Or maybe I just keep it and I frame it up and I hang it on the wall. Or just add it to my t-shirt collection. Because everybody knows B loves t-shirts. You know, advertising, marketing, AR is used in advertising campaigns to create interactive and engaging content. I don't know anything about that, so I'll just pass on that, and I just wanted to go Johnny Carson on that. Education, so I would like to see this. That would be cool to have textbooks and posters and 3D models providing visual and interactive explanations for children, for people learning things. Probably wouldn't hurt to have some doctors get up on that too. Healthcare, you know, medical professionals, you know, use AR for surgical planning, training, visualizing patient data. AR can, you know, overlay diagnostic information onto a surgeon's field of view during procedures. Now, I was in the hospital about 3 years ago. I am so glad I didn't wake up and there was somebody standing over me with AR because, yeah, I was out for a while. And to wake up and to see that, I'd be like, wait a minute, what century is it? Who froze me? Because that ain't cool, bro. I didn't ever see that in the hospital. Agriculture, architecture and real estate. I have seen architectural design over real world context, and that's kind of cool, actually. And you see it a lot of times you know, when they build a new NFL stadium. I think that's fascinating because you can see the stadium, walk around the stadium, and how it was built, and that's pretty cool. Manufacturing and maintenance, you know, real-time information and guidance to perform, you know, tasks, you know, especially maintenance procedures and assembly processes. You could put somebody on a assembly line with some AR on their face, and they could probably do a good job of, you know, building a car, or a better job if they got no training. That is kind of cool. And then training and simulations, you know, for military, aviation, military, you know, emergency services allows trainees to practice in realistic scenarios without real-world consequences. So, yeah, you're not going to kill anybody. You're not going to get burned alive while you're, you know, trying to save someone's life. Art and creativity. Arts and artists and designers use AR to create interactive, dynamic artwork. I am not behind this at all. I don't like that. Like I said earlier, I'm a little old school, so I like people that can paint. I like people that can play musical instruments. I like people that can sculpt, you know, with their hands, and it's not perfect. And that's one thing I've always liked about going to see live music. You have your favorite song, you hear it live, it's a little different. And that's the way it was meant to be. It's probably closer to the way it was recorded because, you know, in the recording studio, you know, producers like to produce. And some of them overproduce things. VR and AR headset manufacturers. So HTC, Vine Pro, that was a popular VR headset. They had high quality graphics and tracking systems. Vine Cosmos series offered a modular design. Sony, yeah, that's right. PlayStation VR, there you go. For gaming, I never saw one of those. I never ran into anybody who used them, but I heard about them. I kind of think they came and went. I'm not sure if that's a thing anymore. Value Index, a high-end VR headset. Those are expensive. Impressive tracking and visual fidelity is often used in combination with Value's stream VR platform. HP has one, Reverb G2, It's probably up to the G4, G5 by now. And it's, you know, gaming and professional. Pixmar, they have a, I looked at those. They're a little pricey as well. Samsung, of course, Samsung makes everything. If it can be made out of plastic, they'll do it. Sorry, Samsung. I love you, bro. Varjo, I don't remember that one. But it says here, I looked this up earlier, that it focuses on professional grade VR and mixed reality headsets for industrial and enterprise applications. XR Space Monvia, social VR headset, emphasizes virtual interaction and communications. Yeah, I don't know if that's still around. Lenovo, who makes, you know, the ThinkPad, all that stuff, the computer guys, in a partnership with Microsoft, they have a variety of models. So it's dynamic, you know, with new players and, you know, innovations. And, of course, Oculus, Google, that's the one I bought. At the time, it was the most well-known one. And quite frankly, I thought it was very affordable and it got me to check it out. Now Apple, I'll talk about the Apple model. The Vision is what they call it. We just had, the developers conference about a month and a half ago. And, that was one of the things they said, hey, look at this. And they introduced the Vision. And this is the version 1.0. So if you're a Mac user or have ever seen a Mac desktop, you put this thing on and that's what you see. You're sitting in your living room, your virtual living room, and you have all your Mac icons you would see. You can open a browser, you can do this, do that. Everything you can do on a Mac, you can do with this thing, but it's all VR. The intermersive watching a movie, you can start a movie and then go full screen on it. And this thing is like, what's that? Oh, you go to the big theater and they got the round movie theater. IMAX. Yeah, it's like that. It's kind of cool. It hasn't even been released. The betas are out. Many people have demoed them or checked them out. The Mac Rumors guys spent some time with them. I think The Verge has a write-up on them. Cult of the Mac does, of course. All the Mac fanboys do. It's getting about an 80 to 90% reception. Some of the things are, I don't like that thing hanging off my face. Well, yeah, it's something strapped onto your face. One of the things I think his name is Dan over at Mac Rumors was saying was it's not as heavy as other headsets that he's experienced. Excuse me, I need some more water. Thank you. And that's the thing. So I do like the Apple. I like the way it looks. And it's not thick as a brick. It's not heavy because, like I said, the battery pack and most electronics are off to the side with this cable. And that's where the weight is. And that was what I always felt on my head when I was using the Oculus. You know, after a while, you know, you don't realize it, but you're holding your head up, your chin up, right? But this thing is pulling down the entire time, no matter how you adjust it. If you put the sucker on there too tight, it will give you a freaking headache. Put it on too loose, you'll get the real world coming through the sides, and that's not cool when you're running from dinosaurs. Just saying. So the Apple product, obviously they're Apple, so it's going to be something. It starts at $3,000. And I think the one where you could wear your glasses over it. I think that's $3,200 to $3,400, that lens thing that you can buy. So if you wear glasses, you're going to have to spend some more money. Like I said earlier, you know, I've never developed anything, tried to develop anything, you know, for the Vision, but I do have the model in Xcode now, and I'm going to pop a picture of DotPaul logo in there and just see what it looks like in the emulator. I'm not sure if I'll buy one, maybe version 3, version 4, just like I always do. You know, it's like this way you don't buy a new car because you roll off the lot and it immediately drops in price, and you need to let other people get the hiccups, especially in a brand new product, out before you're going to drop $3,000 on something. I mean, come on, that's a lot of money. The Oculus was not $3,000. I'm telling you, or I wouldn't have it. So we'll see about all that. Okay, so speaking of coding, what are these things coded in? So C# is obviously a popular programming language, and apparently is popular for VR applications. You know, like Unity. Apparently Unity is a widely used game engine that supports VR development. Excuse me, for various VR headsets such as Oculus, HTC Vive, Windows Mixed Reality. And then C++, which is a Microsoft language, is used in VR development, especially for most performance-intensive applications. You know, C++ and C, they've been around forever, and they've gotten very powerful. So a lot of VR engines and frameworks provide C++ APIs for building experiences. So that probably is something right there. And then our buddy Python, which I was surprised to see on this list, you know, used for scripting, because that's what we use it for. And developed in VR context, especially for creating tools, simulators, and interactions, might not be a primary language for building entire applications, but it can be used in conjunction because Python is basically a scripting language. And then Java, of course, there's Java in there because all you Android folks out there, you got to have your Java or your stuff will not work. Java in combination with other Android tools, Unreal Script and Blueprints for the Unreal Engine, of course. Unreal Script, a scripting language, and Blueprints for visual scripting systems to create VR interactions. Those things are hardcore. Those are big time. Excuse me, I thought I heard something. That's my cat doing crazy things. Sorry, people. those are big time Unreal Script. The Unreal Engine, gaming engine, is hardcore. Web-based languages, HTML, JavaScript, you know, WebGL, to create HTML, JavaScript, and WebGL. Probably use those in these video things that we're seeing, or to call different web pages and websites up, or to at least render them in VR. That would be my first guess. Shader languages like OpenGL shading language, high-level shading language used to write shaders that control the visual experience of VR. Don't know a lot about that. So specific, you know, SDKs and APIs Some VR platforms provide their own software development kits, SDKs, and APIs that may require specialized language or scripting. For example, Oculus provides the Oculus SDK and support for C++ or C. I did not load the Oculus SDK on my machine because at the time, I just want to check this thing out, see what it's about. I'm not going to be coding for this thing. So I guess it depends on what you're doing. If you're going to go into gaming or, you know, just, I could see where you would use Python just to script out something that would hover and possibly see, you know, an engine block, and if it was in the library, it would say, hey, this engine block is known for oil leaks or whatever, pick a problem. Understanding of 3D graphics concepts and mathematical principles is important for creating an immersive VR experience regardless of the programming language that you're going to use. So, yeah, duh. So, you know, that's about what I know about VR and AR. I think everybody should get out there and check it out. I'm pretty sure now that AI is out in the world, and I'm pretty sure AI is doing stuff in VR. Pretty sure the graphics have gotten better. The next step up for me would be to go to the little more professional VR, you know, but the one I have, I can still use, still check out and interact with. And, this is just me. This is just my take on a VR, AR. After about an hour, I want to take the headset off. No matter what I'm doing, I can't watch a movie for 2.5 hours with this headset on. Maybe Apple has figured that out with this vision thing. Maybe their focus groups. It's like, hey, without that battery and all those electronics, you know, hanging off the front of the headset, maybe you can do that. I heard one of the people, I don't know if it may have been Cult of the Mac, he was giving his assessment of their product, the Vision product. And he was saying that it floated on his face. Now, it didn't look like it had, but it may have. I just saw the demo and I just saw what I saw at developers conference. And trying to recall it in detail here. Without going to a video or looking at something, which I never do on these things. I write a little script and I just jam it out there. So I think that's, for me, the better way to go. I don't remember seeing, you know, some kind of counter lever or something to take that weight off the front, because that's really what you need in that back piece to hold that weight, so it's not pressing down on your temples or in the front of your face. It's just kind of floating there. But you have to make contact with the user's face and bridge of the nose. And, you know, there are several different face types. I think 50 of them, round, square, pointed, whatever. You know, we're not all the same. We're, you know, variations of a theme. So getting that universal, so it had, I did notice it had this little foam edge around it. So I think once that hangs on your face, you don't have that. It's one thing, the Oculus, it's hard. You know, there's the thunk, you know, jink. You know, when you ever see a spacecraft make a docking of another spacecraft, boop, 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 capture. The Oculus is kind of like that on your face. The longer you wear it, of course, this thing generates heat. The human body generates heat. Yeah, you get where I'm going. I'm excited about what's going to happen in the VR land. And looking forward to learning more about it. Need to plug my Oculus in and charge it up. It does charge up. It does use Wi-Fi. And all that is very easy to hook up. And it does do updates. And it's always loading new things in there. So it's like, go to the menu, you look over like, oh man, there are 25 new experiences and 125 new games and, you know, this and that. Oh, one of the things I found on the Oculus I wanted to, I just thought of this is, so this open mic night. So this thing is on your Wi-Fi, so it's on the internet, and you quote unquote buy a ticket, you don't spend any money, but you get a ticket to go to this club. And so I used to do that. So I'd go to this comedy club and sit in the audience, and they would have an open mic night. Some people were good, some people weren't, and their avatars would come up there and perform. It was the weirdest thing. And so I would be sitting in the audience, and my avatar is a cat, of course, and a top hat. Thank you very much. And I would sit there, and I would drink my water and look around. I could be sitting next to a medieval knight, be in on one side, and on the other side could be an alien. And in the audience, there could be a frogman, when I mean frogman, I don't mean a scuba diver. I mean a dude that's a frog. or maybe it was a woman. I don't know. All kind of people, you know. So that was interesting, and that went really well. You could also watch live sports on this thing. They never had football on there. I think the NFL said ixnay on the Oculus A, but soccer. Not a huge soccer fan, and so I watched a couple soccer games on this thing. Again, my cat, but this time my cat's got a Pittsburgh Penguins jersey on, and they're playing the New Jersey Devils or whoever, and it was fun. It's the live action, but you're sitting in the audience, and you're looking around, and we're all avatars. We're all VR avatars. It was fun. And, of course, this is about six and a half years ago. So, this is lockdown mode, folks. This is all that BS that we had to endure. So that 2 weeks turned into 2 years. So I had a lot of time to play on the Oculus. So I hope you enjoyed my, my commentary on, VR, what it is. You know, I say go out and get one or borrow one from somebody and hang out. Check it out. It's not for everybody, but it's a lot of fun. Just believe me, it is a lot of fun. All right. So this is B on Dot Paul Podcast. And remember, accelerate with confidence.